I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, as we speak, I hear student protesters outside our studio on their anti-ICE march. I'll tell you what happened when I encountered them earlier today. Plus, doctors, parents, and even students are turning their back on radical ideology. And how the proposed tax on millionaires could hurt the ability of the Seattle Seahawks to go back to the Super Bowl. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Wow, we have a ton to get to, including some news that broke right before our very eyes this morning with another student walkout on ICE. Got a lot of news on that front, including a prediction I made that unfortunately came true. But this might be the most significant story that really on any topic we've covered probably in the past year, and definitely the most significant story to happen in the realm of radical gender ideology. And in fact, this news came down while we were in Olympia yesterday trying to advocate on behalf of parents so their kids don't get sent to a public school and are transed behind their back and sent to gender clinics. So we're sitting there, this story pops up, and I was showing it to everyone around me. Here it is from Reuters. U.S. Plastic Surgeons Group advises delaying gender surgery until the age of 19 due to what? Insufficient evidence. You don't say. And this is another one of those examples of something that conservatives were being vilified, and still are, frankly, vilified for left and right, where they turn out to be correct about it. You think there's going to be any apologies? You think there's going to be any mea culpa? Probably not. I'm still happy it's happening. But it does get annoying afterward. And you guys have been dealing with this for a lot longer than I have. I've only been, you know, owned the label conservative for maybe 2 years. And as you know, I only came around to President Trump recently. I think his voice on this and his administration's voice and RFK Jr. has mattered a lot on this. But I mean, you guys got to be exhausted. Going back to the pandemic, I mean, even at the beginning of the pandemic, I was pushing the lockdowns. And I mean, you guys, the conservatives, were right about so many things and were vilified for so long. So, I mean, you know, maybe we just tuck that anger deep down inside because advances in sanity like this are so important. So they're talking about the group that represents plastic surgeons nationally, American Association for Plastic Surgeons. It says, according to ASPS, there is low certainty of evidence regarding mental health outcomes, along with emerging concerns about potential long-term harms and the irreversible nature of surgeries in a developmentally vulnerable population. I mean, again, you don't say. There was never evidence. And the fact that they're saying there's low certainty here, this whole first paragraph says it all. There's low certainty of evidence regarding mental health outcomes. We've been saying that because remember, they weaponized a fake study where they were cherry-picking data saying, if you don't give these kids gender surgeries, they will kill themselves. It was never true, but nobody wanted to listen. And now this association saying, yeah, low certainty, low evidence, along with emerging concerns about potential long-term harms. Those aren't emerging. People have been saying it for years and you called them bigots. But again, Brandi, back down. They're doing the right thing now. Better late than never. It says the association noted this position reflects recent policy shifts in countries such as the UK, Sweden, and Finland, which have also moved toward more restrictive or research-only models for minors. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. commended ASPS and said the organization was standing up to the over-medicalization lobby and defending sound science. But it gets even better. The American Medical Association, in a statement after this, said evidence on gender-affirming surgical intervention in minors remains insufficient and agreed with the ASPS that such procedures should generally be deferred to adulthood. Again, you don't say. And look, for so many young people in this country, the damage is done. We've had several of them on the show. They will never be the same. In adulthood, maybe out of whatever sort of indoctrination center they were in, they've realized I've made a horrible, horrible mistake that too many adults allowed to happen. teachers, parents, in many instances, unfortunately, psychiatrists, counselors, nurses, doctors. And now here they are in adulthood, butchered. Some of them will never be able to have kids again. We're never allowed to develop normally, and there's no going back for them. But for everyone who's been shouting this from the rooftops long before I was, because I was also on the wrong side of this issue not too long ago, I mean, you have, for all the hate that has been directed your way, you are owed a great deal of gratitude for standing your ground and for saying it doesn't matter. And this is, you know, regular under the radar people, all the way up to the J.K. Rowlings of the world, who no matter what hate or cancel culture came their way, they stood their ground and said, this is an atrocity. You own this. This is a win and a victory for you and for so many people. And I think that now we're going to see an absolute domino effect. You know, there was the, and I don't know how much of this is because of that case out of New York State. We talked about it on the show yesterday, where there was a malpractice successful lawsuit that a detransitioner brought against the doctors and the nurses and the medical institutions that transitioned them medically. Breast removed. And so, and maybe it's money, and it's like these plastic surgeons are like, we don't want to get sued for malpractice. I don't care what it is, they're doing it, but at least they're acknowledging, look, the science isn't there, because the science was never there. Huge news. As I said, this news came down while we were down in Olympia yesterday, all day. Thank you so much to all of you who came down in the middle of the day on a Tuesday to help rally for the two Let's Go Washington initiatives. As I said, it was a long afternoon, so we had the rally outside the Capitol, and then we also had two hearings that stretched really late into the evening. I mean, they probably didn't even get done until 8:30. Not hearings. I've been told, don't call them hearings, Brandy. The Democrats will get mad. They were listening sessions that Republicans held because Democrats won't give the initiatives hearings. They're not going to pass the initiatives. We know that. One to protect girls' sports, one to protect parental rights and education. These are issues you will decide on the ballot in November. But they are supposed to prioritize initiatives from the people that get qualified to the legislature. Instead, Democrats are saying, we don't even want to hear. We don't even want to hear from young women like Annalee Wilson, one of the young athletes who spoke at our rally yesterday.
In May of 2024, I stood on a podium and was handed this second place ribbon while a boy stood above me and was awarded first place. That moment wasn't just about a race. It wasn't just about losing. It was the moment my family and I realized that this was deeply wrong. It was the moment that I understood that fairness, safety, and respect were being taken away from girls, and that it could happen to any girl. I didn't know it then, but this ribbon represented the beginning of my courage. Yay. I've always been the quiet girl. I don't like attention, and I don't like to stand out. But that race changed me. It was the moment I stopped being silent. The moment I realized my voice mattered. I never imagined I would be standing here, having to ask leaders, lawmakers, and adults to fight for me, for my friends, and for girls all across Washington State.
Yeah, we never imagined it either, but there you are, there we were, and hopefully some Democrats in the building at least could hear what you were saying, even if they don't want to meet with you personally or hold a hearing, an official hearing, so you can sit there and force them to hear your side of the story. Like, Democrats can't even be bothered to have those stories hit their ears. They can't be bothered to even listen to someone like Annalee, who is a public school student in the state they're supposed to represent, whose parents are constituents and taxpayers. It's really disturbing that they care so little, because they have so much power that they can just totally ignore, you know, 40% of the population that doesn't agree with them on things, and there's no repercussion. There was this moment during the rally. So Let's Go Washington planned the rally. I agreed to MC just to keep things moving along, but they came up with this funny bit. It's a bit, but it was pretty hilarious. So I said at the beginning that, look, the people represented there are a coalition. And that's what's really cool about this movement and these initiatives. There were Democrats there. There were Republicans there. There were straight people and gay people there, old and young. And so there are so many. It's not a Republican issue. And we know that because the polling has shown that. 80 to 90% of Americans, depending on the poll, 80% of the low end, say there shouldn't be boys and girls sports. Now, the parental rights issue maybe hasn't been polled to the same extent. But look, we knew based on our coalition that was there, that this is an issue that transcends politics. But the crowd got very excited because I announced that we had a sitting member of Congress, a Democrat, who's on our side on the girls' sports issue.
We have a special treat. I promised you a Democratic member of Congress who supports our mission here today. You're not going to be able to see it, but you'll be able to hear it on this screen here. Ladies and gentlemen, supporting the fight that these girls are undertaking, United States Senator Patty Murray. Go ahead.
I know that you have trouble with Kennedy and Tina Davis, but I have every right to be here. And that's what this issue is about, making sure that the girls who come behind us have every right to participate as well.
Yeah, and of course, it was Senator Patty Murray from 2003, 23 years ago, fighting for Title IX. But it was funny because the people behind the screen, some of them hadn't seen that old clip where she's making the same arguments we are. And so they're just hearing it and thinking, oh my God, Senator Patty Murray like sent a video in, but here's a part of that old 2003 video.
I remain committed to doing all that I can to protect Title IX and the future of every girl in Washington State and around the country who dreams of making the team, wearing a uniform, or winning an athletic scholarship. I urge President Bush to protect existing Title IX policies and give every young girl in America the chance to experience the roar of a crowd and not just cheer from the sidelines.
Yeah, and it wasn't until she mentioned President Bush that they realized, oh, this must be a very old clip. But still, unless she has radically changed her mind on women's rights and Title IX, what Patty Murray said 23 years ago should still be true today. Here's what I told the crowd.
She supports this effort. She supported it all those years ago. Everything she said is what we've been saying. Everything she said is what these girls have been saying. So why are we bigots now? Why are we hateful now? Why do these girls just need to sit down and shut up now? Why isn't Senator Patty Murray here with us today in 2026 saying what she said all those years ago? Politics. The thing that gets in the way of everything. Partisan politics and party loyalty. And Patty Murray should be ashamed of herself because we know that she is on the right side of this issue and is simply too scared 20 years later to admit it.
Yeah, look, if she wants to come out now and say, yeah, you're right, you know, I'm being a hypocrite on this, we'll welcome her with open arms. I'm waiting for a cease and desist. And if I were Let's Go Washington, I would use that Patty Murray video on TV from now to November. And I would say, I would have the girls and saying, thank you, Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat, for supporting these initiatives. And then I would play that. Because she did say those things. She can't take it back. And if she wants to come out now and say, no, I actually don't want fair play for girls, then she can do it. And then we'll stop using the clip and say she's changed her mind, okay? One other thing, because there's always, first of all, yesterday was awesome. It was awesome to be part of these hearings that Republicans held. They held two of them on the Senate side and the House side. And it's sorry, not hearings, listening sessions, so Democrats don't lose their minds, listening sessions, because Democrats wouldn't give a hearing. It, I think, was really good for parents, for stakeholders, for experts, for kids to be able to get up there and have their voice heard in a setting like that. But there was some shenanigans behind the scenes. So what's crazy about this is Democrats, like, they shouldn't have any say in anything about this because they've decided not to give them hearings. So if Republicans want to use these spaces to have these listening sessions, then what do Democrats care? Oh, no. Democrats, specifically on the House side, lost their minds over this. One of the hearings was supposed to, they're both supposed to be in an official hearing room, right? One of the listening sessions. They were supposed to be in official hearing rooms. But one of them, we wound up in this sort of office building type thing in this room with a bunch of chairs. And I was asking what happened. How the House, Democrats control the House, wouldn't let them use a hearing room. At the last minute, wouldn't let them use a hearing room. And then, and the Senate didn't care as much. So that one happened in an official hearing room. The other crazy thing, they were supposed to be broadcast on TVW, which is public access. TVW broadcasts all sorts of things in the political realm outside, you know, actual official hearings and floor debate. They've been at all sorts of events that are of public interest. They have broadcast rallies on TVW if they deem it's in public interest. So TVW, from my understanding, was going to broadcast both of these listening sessions. And then I get there and they're saying TVW is not doing it. The Democrats went and pressured TVW to not broadcast the listening sessions. How crazy is that? And they're like, oh, it's not an official hearing and it's too political. Everything TVW broadcasts is political in one sense or another. Again, we get a ton of video from TVW of all sorts of things, including rallies. This is Democrats, mark my word, Democrats behind the scenes telling TVW what to do. Mark my words. Oh, we can't give them a platform. We're denying them a platform by denying them hearings. So you can't broadcast their listening sessions because God forbid Washingtonians get to hear what these young girls have to say, get to hear what these parents have to say. Democrats can't have that. They've got lies to sell. They've got a bunch of lies to sell. So they can't have anything conflicting with their lies and their narrative. Insane. No, you can't use a hearing room. No, can't be broadcast on TVW. Wild. But thank you again to everyone who showed up yesterday. And now we march toward November and we try to combat the millions of dollars that are going to be spent vilifying these initiatives so that people reject them. We know these are winning issues. We just have to make sure the public knows what's really going on. All right, coming up next, I'll take a little brief break from radical indoctrination nonsense. I'll come back to it, though. Don't worry. And I want to talk about, are we going to millionaire's tax next? Do you want to do that and then circle back to the, okay, we'll do that. All right, the millionaire's tax, Bob Ferguson had a press conference saying he's not in favor of the Democrats' version of the millionaire's tax from the House and Senate. So we'll go through the differences and a question I asked Bob Ferguson at a press conference yesterday. First, are we in a tech bubble? Are we in an AI bubble? Could the future of AI impact your retirement portfolio? Do you just want to know how much risk your retirement portfolio is exposed to? Well, if that's the case, reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital. Go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com, and say, hey, Zach, Brandy told me you'd give me a second opinion on my retirement portfolio, and he'd be more than happy to do so. He can talk about the impact AI could have on the market this year, how Bulwark is focused on risk management, and how they incorporate value-based principles in managing retirement portfolios. Plus, he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review and subscribe to Zach's daily market recap at knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, so we finally have the official bill that Democrats in Olympia have introduced for their millionaires tax. The two bills, same thing, just one going through the House, one going through the Senate. But if you care to track them, the numbers are House Bill 2724 and Senate Bill 6346. And we know essentially that it would levy a 9.9% tax on millionaires. And there are some carve-outs in there, et cetera. But this is their tax on the rich and their way to get an income tax on everyone. I'm going to say it every opportunity we get. Democrats in the legislature refuse to directly answer questions. They rolled their eyes at me when I asked them this question at the beginning of the session about whether it'll be an income tax on millionaires today and an income tax on everyone tomorrow. They refuse to answer the question directly because they know that this is what it's for. They want to challenge the Constitution. They want to have this go to a friendly state Supreme Court. And they say, yep, you can have this income tax. And then every income tax is on the table. And this isn't just trust their own words. They've wanted a tax on income for years. They say we have a regressive tax structure without it. So all of a sudden, after like 40 years, they're just going to give up the fight to get an income tax? Of course not. So please don't be fooled by the name of this. It's just insane. So here's Senator Jamie Peterson, who's the leading Democrat in the Senate, talking about, oh gosh, why do they need this? Well, orange man, really bad.
I want to locate this also in the context of where we are in the world today. You know, in 2026, we are living with the passage by the U.S. Congress of H.R. 1 and President Trump's act that he has perpetrated on the country, which really throws into dramatic juxtaposition big tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires and benefit cuts for poor people.
It's so crazy. It makes me so sad that people will hear that and they'll believe it. Because we were in a budget crisis before President Trump was elected for a second term. This budget crisis has been happening and manifesting since 2019, and it's entirely self-inflicted. And yes, let's be honest about it. You know, they can talk about cuts coming at the federal level, but we were already in a budget crisis. You've been pushing for an income tax for years. You can blame it on Donald Trump. I guess some people will believe that, but Lord have mercy for you guys. Don't let your friends and family believe that. We had a $14 billion budget deficit last year that they filled with taxes. That's not President Trump's fault because it existed and they announced it the day after the November 2024 election. So come on now, it's just crazy. And they think they can get away with the lies because nobody calls them on it. The media is certainly not gonna call them on it. So here's something interesting. So Governor Ferguson came out and actually went to his press conference yesterday. I'll talk about what I asked him in a moment. But he said, as is, he's not gonna support this millionaire's tax proposal. And he wants a millionaire's tax. This is whole his big thing too. But he said that something important to him, and I agree with this. I mean, the tax is stupid, but he wants there to be more tax offsets. So if you're going to get the money from millionaires, we've got to help businesses more and some of these other people who are being disproportionately impacted by taxes. And he says there's just not enough of that in the version he's getting from Democrats in the legislature.
When I announced my support for millionaires tax back in December, right here, many of you were here for that conversation, I said a significant percentage of the revenue must go directly back into the pockets of Washingtonians. I reinforced that message in my State of the State address a few weeks ago, in which I said a significant percentage of these revenues must go back into the pocket of Washingtonians. The current proposal is not close to achieving that important objective. I want to be clear that as governor, you know, my focus will be that we are listening and hearing the voices of many, many Washingtonians who are struggling right now and having a lack of affordability in our state. And we need to address that head on and to hear those voices and make sure we are putting a significantly bigger percentage of the dollars from the revenue from the millionaire's tax back into the pocket of those Washingtonians.
Yeah, you never be able to tax your way into affordability. That's never happened in the history of the world. And even taxing the rich is going to have impacts on the poor and middle class. So let's just get away with this notion that taxing the rich is going to solve people's affordability problems. It's not. It's going to make our economy much weaker and much, much worse. Now, I've said that if you're talking about an income tax and you're going to get rid of other taxes in exchange for an income tax, and that's baked into the law, we can have a conversation. If the net tax burden on regular people is lower, then okay, we can have a conversation about what exactly, you know, we do from there. But that's not going to happen here. And, you know, one of the cost-saving areas that he wants to go into is B&O. He wants to lower the B&O tax for certain businesses as a result of the millionaire's tax. Okay, but who passed massive B&O tax increases last year? Bob Ferguson did. Most of the $14 billion in new taxes were new taxes on business. So you passed it on them last year, and now you're like, but we're going to lower them this year with the millionaire's tax. So what is the net? What I'm curious about is it still net higher than it was before he came into office? Because that's going to be an issue as well. So Democrats had a press conference before Bob's, and they said that they were very surprised that Governor Ferguson didn't support their proposal.
We were a little surprised by the governor's statement, given the fact that less than 24 hours ago, we had a very positive conversation with him about our progress and our work together on this. You know, we knew then that none of us, including him, thought that the bill was in its final form and that there were going to be many opportunities in the weeks to come to move it to a place where it could get support in the Senate and in the House and from him.
Yeah, so they say that they're surprised about it, but and it is kind of weird, right? You guys have all been talking about this. You haven't gotten together and come up with a proposal that you all agree on before you put it forth publicly, so we'll see what's hashed out. And then Bob was asked about Democrats being surprised, and he says, well, he's surprised too.
What strikes me as a couple of things that are extremely important is we need to have the largest tax break for small business owners in state history. Full stop, got to happen. So again, I appreciate the initial step that they've made here, but you know, we're a ways away from where I started off. I have some experience in, you know, negotiating things in life, and so I understand I'm not going to get exactly what I want on that, you know, maybe to the tune of $1 billion, but it's certainly going to be much higher.
Yeah. So I've been looking for a way to try to get people who aren't usually politically active to care about what's happening with the millionaire's tax, because eventually this will wind up in front of voters. And the whole tax the rich thing seems to work really well with voters here for whatever reason. And so I thought, what works? What's apolitical? Sports. And there is a real concern here. So I had to call some of my sports reporter friends to just talk through this jargon, because I'm not exactly a sports expert. But of course, Seahawks have a great team this year. They're in the Super Bowl. Okay, you pass the millionaire's tax, and then all of a sudden free agency starts to look really, really bleak. And if you have players who can pick what team they want to go to, and they can go to a place where they're not going to have 10% lobbed off of the money that they're going to get if they're going to come from Seattle, that becomes a real question, right? And again, talking to sports reporters, apparently something similar happened with like Dwayne Wade and who's the other really good basketball player? Dwayne Wade and come on. Who else went to Miami? The really good one. Like that people always.
It's been a while since I watched
basketball. Oh my God, somebody tell me. The one who people always compare to Michael Jordan.
Compared to Michael Jordan?
Somebody will tell me. No, somebody will tell me in the chat. Anyway, according to my reporter friends, they all went to Miami. I really thought Nicole would know. I feel bad putting her on the spot. And people are probably...
LeBron James.
I just thought of it. LeBron James. They go to Miami. And people were saying, and the speculation at the time was because Florida is a really good tax environment for people who are making a lot of money. So I was at Bob Ferguson's press conference and I asked him about this.
Governor, there's been a lot of small businesses who have been very happy with the Seahawks making it as far as they have because it's great for business.
Agreed.
And it's a sports question, so I had to consult some sports reporters this morning, but there is some angst about the free agency and how this could impact free agency and good players coming to Seattle, whether it's football or baseball, and kind of having a Dwayne Wade to Miami sort of situation where the team doesn't do as well and business suffers as a result. So how concerned are you about that, given there's sort of there is history of players moving from less tax-friendly states to more tax-friendly states?
Sure. So I've not seen that specifically. Brandy, have we take a look at it. Aware generally of that issue, I'd say. I think what I'd say is that, you know, most states have an income tax. And so football players still play in states where there is an income tax. But that said, I think what I would say is that from my standpoint, you know, and I think this is true for all of us who are working on this, by the way, is that we're trying to be thoughtful about what's the amount and who's paying it, what are the impacts of that. I had a meeting yesterday with folks in the business community to talk about that. So we're certainly aware of that. And so we're going to just have to try and structure this in a way that makes the most sense, that is the most fair to address the challenges we're facing. And I'll check more into that as well.
Yeah, so kind of a non-answer. I mean, I don't believe him that he's not aware of it because it's been in the news and stuff. But the other concern is the Seahawks, as we know, are going up for sale. So, I mean, this is what you need to tell your friends who are maybe not politically involved or think they're on the left. You have a team up for sale, and that's going to be bought by a rich person in a state that's very unfriendly to the wealthy, in a state that's really bad for taxation if you're doing well in life. And then you have a team that is performing, is probably going to win the Super Bowl. Might be the last Super Bowl they ever get to because they're not going to get crap in free agency. Did I sound like I knew what I was talking about with sports? Besides, our chat was just blowing up. Brandy, it's LeBron James. I'm sorry I couldn't think of it. I didn't have the chat open, but I knew you guys would know. And I just looked like a dumb chick. I called our friend Jessamine, who's a sports reporter. And she was down in San Jose getting ready for the Super Bowl. And I'm like, and I also called my friend Aaron Levine, who was at Fox I used to work with. And I'm just asking them all sorts of questions so I don't sound like an idiot. And I sounded like an idiot anyway. It's fine. All right. I don't even know how to tease this next story, so I'm not even going to try. We'll just get to it in a moment. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, I've been telling you for years, you've got to be a member of RHA. If you're not, that's just dumb. Because they're down in Olympia advocating on your behalf, but also they can help you on an individual basis, make sure you're up to date on all the rules, regulations, laws at the local county, local level, county level, state level. You know, we're in the middle of this rent control debacle. Are you sure that you're following all the rules and regulations? Because I promise you, Nick Brown will come after you if you're not. You'll pay the price for it, but RHA can help you out. So RHAWA.org, they are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. They also have a ton of cool events all across the state, all the time for landlords to get together and talk about these issues. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right, with that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Boop. This is a doozy. It makes me mad. I don't know if I should be more upset or disgusted. And I rarely want people fired, but this to me is just a fireable offense. So you guys know that these anti-ICE loons are using these whistles, right? There's all these whistling and they make these little whistle kits, right? So this woman on social media posted, Cindy Tran, gift, putting together whistle packets, gauging interest before I get started. So she's like, hey, are you interested? Because I want to make some of these whistle packets and information on how to fight ICE, like all these radicals are doing. This woman named Ronnie Cook comments, if you need someone to package them, I'd love to have my special needs students help. Let me read that again. If you need someone to package them, I'd love to have my special needs students help. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Veronica Cook, a secondary teacher at Mukilteo School District, Harbor Point Middle School, works with special needs students. And also, here's this photo, just so you can see how radical she really is. Highly radical. Speaking there at the podium for the National Education Association, local teacher says and offers up, think about this, her special ed kids to be used as free labor to help anti-ICE extremists put together whistle kits. That's sick stuff. How special needs are these kids? Do they understand what they'd even be doing? First of all, no kid should be asked by their teacher to spend time during school putting together anti-ICE whistle kits. But it's particularly disgusting when they're special education students and special needs students. So we, of course, have reached out to the Mukilteo School District and to Harbor Point Middle School to ask them if they find it appropriate that Veronica Cook would be offering up special ed kids to put together whistle kits. What are they going to say to that one? Because every time we reach out to a school district for comment, they give us some nonsense answer that doesn't even answer our question. But if you have a special ed student, or any student for that matter, in the Mukilteo School District, maybe because they haven't responded to you yet, Nicole, right? No response yet. Maybe they'll respond to parents. Especially if you've got one of those special ed students and Veronica Cook is their teacher, she's offering them up as free labor to radicals online. That's gross. Disgusting stuff. There are a ton of teachers, really, across the public school system in Washington State and elsewhere who are not only, you know, if they want to get involved in the anti-ICE movement on their free time, by all means, by all means. But doing anything during school hours or advocating for students to do something, and I've been talking a lot about these school walkouts. We see little kids, like 5-6-year-old kids in preschool, being given signs and marching around in California. It's wild. So there's a Federal Way city council member right now, publicly, and Libs of TikTok highlighted this, so I imagine he's getting a lot of crap online. Council President Martin Moore, as I've said before, I'm deeply concerned about ICE activity. While we do not have confirmation that ICE has been present in Federal Way, I fully support our students' right to peacefully protest and exercise their First Amendment freedoms. Our young people are clearly feeling fear and uncertainty, and that is heartbreaking. I'm proud of them for using their voices, and I stand with them. If you'd like to join them, please private message me. And then he has this ICE out of Federal Way. There's apparently some sort of activity planned for February 5th and 6th. And you have a city council member who is supporting it, who's pushing it, who's saying if you'd like to join them. So does he plan to join them? We talked on the show on Monday about how the mayor of Auburn is supporting these kids walking out of school. And this guy also, I think it's worth noting, he's a city council member, but he's also a guest teacher in the Federal Way school district. So he also teaches. So he has more of a direct connection to these kids and what's happening than his other title as councilman would lead you to believe. So you remember on the show on Monday, I kind of predicted some of what's going to happen here. I questioned, look, I think kids have First Amendment rights, you know, as long as it's not messing with a school environment. So there have to be some limits to make sure the school environment remains, you know, a safe place and a productive place for everyone and learning continues. But they have First Amendment rights, but to an end. But in these walkouts that have been happening, what did I question on Monday? Here's what I said. What happens if a kid gets hit by a car? What happens if a kid gets shot in a drive-by shooting? What happens if a kid gets plucked off the streets by a pedophile during school hours? Who's liable for that? Because parents drop their kids off at public school and they expect that there's some level of safety and planning that the school has. And as I said, I mean, are you just going to let like little kids walk out into the streets in the middle of the day? And I've used that hit by a car example because we see these kids in the streets everywhere. And this happened. This is from Channel 6 News in Nebraska. Mother upset with Fremont High School after a student hit by an SUV during a protest. And I saw the video, and thankfully the student is okay, but they were hit pretty hard and they flew a couple feet forward. And yeah, the mom's upset with the school because the school just lets them walk out. And look, it doesn't even matter. And I think that there was, like in this one, can you show that graphic again? I'm not even really sure what side this girl was on because somebody has a Trump flag right there. And so, I mean, I'm assuming it was anti-ICE. What was that?
The Trump flag is connected to the car.
Oh, yeah.
So the car got hit.
Okay. I didn't know if they were holding it or what. But it doesn't matter. I don't care what it is and the protest is. This is the situation that you're setting up for these kids. Case in point. So I come to work today. You probably know we have a studio on the east side. And we're sitting in here, we're getting ready for the show, and I hear like chanting in the distance. And I grab Nicole and I'm like, let's go outside. And this is what I see.
What's that shirt?
Brothers.
Freedom! Yeah, freedom!
What school are you guys in?
Lake Washington High School!
Do you though?
So they're in the street near our studio. Not an adult in sight. They're swearing at me because look what I happen to be wearing. So the kid, and the kids are, oh, we hate ICE. Do you though? You don't even know what you're doing. And they're in the street and they're on the sidewalk. And as I point out, I was so mad when I came in. I literally called the school. I mean, we had our new reporting on it to do, but I called the school. And of course, I talked to some lady because I'm like, your kids are in the street right now. There was kids in a Tesla when we first went out there, packed into there, cheering on and stuff. They went 50 miles an hour, probably right past cheering and honking. And if a kid gets hit at 50 miles an hour, they're going to get killed. And as you see, we'll continue the video here.
In the street, unbelievable.
But it was just like
not a teacher to be found.
Crazy.
You guys, don't get hit by a car in the street. Jesus. You guys, stay out of the street. I don't want you to get hit by a car. Just go on the sidewalk. Run into traffic. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
You guys, don't get hit by a car in the street. Jesus, not an adult to be found.
Why?
Not an adult to be found.
Why am I policing other people's kids during the school day? Why has it come down to me to tell kids who have left class to stay out of the street as some of their classmates race by them at 50 miles an hour? On just a regular street, it's probably like a 20 mile an hour speed limit. I sound like an old lady. But no, this is a real thing. I mean, this has been happening. And what happens if one of those kids gets hit by a car? Who's responsible for that? Nicole, you heard back. Well, actually, let me play one more clip because I think it's really interesting. So I'm sitting there and I've got my Freedom t-shirt on. And this one kid, you'll hear him ask, do you support this? And I'm thinking, this kid is going to be a demand to know if I supported it. If I say no, they're going to mob me or something. But it was quite different.
Do you support this?
No.
Me either. I promise you, I'm a Trump supporter.
So why are you here?
Bro, I'm just doing this so I can support ICE.
Support ICE?
Yeah, once they talk, they shit.
Are you a student?
Of course.
There's no teachers that come Nothing. With you guys?
This is not the teacher's plans. We're all going to get absent. I'm showing you right now. I'm skipping too. But look, you see how many students?
Yeah.
Just to skip. I promise you. This is just to not be in school.
What? Crazy.
Like, let me know.
All right. Be safe, though.
So a kid's like, I love Trump. I'm just here to just skip school. And he said, that's what they're doing, too. So I love not the response I expected when I said, no, I don't support this. And he's like, and he was, you know, fist bumping me and stuff. But anyway, here I am. Gosh, I'm only 37. I felt like an 80-year-old woman being like, get out of the street. But how can they not have adults there with them if they're going to allow them to leave school during the school day? So first of all, I made that phone call. And I talked to a lady in the front office and I said, this is Brandi Cruz. I host a political show. We're going to send out a separate thing. But you guys do know that you have students walking in the middle of the street, cars speeding by. And she sent me to the principal's line and it was just a voicemail. And I'm like, screw this. But we reached out. Here's the response we got. Thank you for reaching out regarding the student walkout. Yes, school staff were notified in advance by the student organizers about this walkout. We did notify families yesterday afternoon and we were aware of a planned walkout and we reiterated consistently expectations for students and staff during these non-school sponsored student-led activities. Consistent with our expectations around student expression of First Amendment rights in school settings, staff were asked not to encourage or discourage participation in this event. Classes are in session, staff continue teaching and supervising the students in their classrooms. If students are not present, staff will follow standard attendance reporting procedures, including students receiving an unexcused absence for leaving class. We informed families that if students leave the property, they would not be supervised by LWSD staff as this is not a school-sponsored event. Kirkland police were informed of this event and were present. Nicole, did you see a cop out there? Mm-mm. Nope. And we were there right at the beginning of it and right until the last kid walked past us. I did not see a police officer. And so you can call me a curmudgeon or whatever it is. I'm thinking about the taxpayer. I'm thinking about the taxpayer at this point and how insane it is. That's walking liability. I don't want a kid to get hurt, but if your parents knew this was happening, and obviously parents were told, no, I'm sure some parents could tell their child don't participate and their child might do it anyway. But I imagine for most of those kids, if those parents said you will not be part of that walkout, they wouldn't have done it. So I'm concerned that we got some pretty woke parents who are okay with their kids walking out unsupervised in the middle of the street while kids in a Tesla are driving by at 50 miles an hour. Absolutely insane. So we have another story today about a parent who plucked their child out of public school because of what's happening here. Remember, we had the mom on the show on Monday. So this guy's name is Vance. His child goes to Cascade Middle School in the Highline School District, and he posted this on social media.
So my son just called and said that his school just brought him to a protest. So he's currently at a protest. I'm fitting to go rage. Who the said you could bring my child to a protest? Any of our kids to a protest. They see what's happening today. Bringing kids out there now.
Is this really what's going on? This is craziness. This is craziness. We got the blue hairs, everything. Are you serious? Yellow hair? Oh my God, my kid is at a woke school. What is going on? This is Cascade Middle School, everybody. Cascade Middle School. Did you consent to that?
No, I didn't want to.
You didn't want to do that?
No, actually, the cops came up. One of the guys was like the guy with the megaphone, like a kid, who's like, do not talk to the federal thing involves.
Yeah, and we find out the dad is going to join us momentarily, but we find out his son is the one who called him. So anyway, Vance, father of this student at Cascade Middle School, in that video, irate. And that looked like a run of the mill left wing protest that I would see adults doing. And those were adults standing there with bicycles, like blocking the way. Absolutely insane. So Vance was nice enough after working an overnight shift to wake up super early this morning and join us. Vance, welcome to Undivided.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For having me.
Where do you live?
Washington State.
Well, we're in Washington State. You got to be more specific than that.
Okay. So I live out in Berrien, Washington.
Gotcha. So I saw your video and I think my timeline fed it to me because we just had a woman on the show who went and yanked her daughter out of public school in Auburn. I don't know if you saw that clip because she was just mortified when she pulled up what the scene that she saw unfolding. So your son is in what grade?
He is in seventh.
Okay. And what school?
at Cascade Middle School.
Cascade Middle School. So did you go that day because you knew there was an ICE protest, or was this a situation where you were going to pick up your child, or why did you end up there filming?
It's more alarming than that. Okay. I had gotten a call from my child saying that he is at a protest. Was not informed by the school. Had no permission slips, no emails. I was livid.
Yeah.
I headed down on my own volition. To get him out of that situation, based especially with all the craziness that's happening at these protests, a child cannot consent to go out on their own.
Well, and he's what? What is seventh grade that makes him how old?
14.
14. So your child calls you, and did he not want to be there? I mean, didn't he have an option just to stay in his classroom?
He didn't want to be there. He put it this way. He said, I didn't want to be here. They gave me an option to stay there, but the teacher left. Everyone left the school in his area. He would be the only one sitting in there by himself. So he decided to go with because he didn't want to be left alone. But they're saying that he had an option. I said, there's no option for a child. I don't care if he organized it. There needs to be a parental advisory or a parental discussion. There needs to be something with the parents. I was not informed at all.
Yeah. And explain to me the extent of the protest. I mean, were the kids on school property? Were they leaving school property? Were they in the street on sidewalks? I mean, explain the extent of what the protest entailed.
There's I'm going to have to send you this. My son actually showed me the video of them actually walking through the street in the middle of the street down. They must have went 10 blocks up and back and forth through White Center, Washington. And mind you, I have to keep this very point and blank that is a very dangerous area.
Yes, it is.
You know this.
Yes, White Center is like gang violence central.
Yes.
Oh,
that was my biggest concern. And the teachers can say that they give them an option. There's no option for a child. It's up to the parents' consent. Children cannot consent.
Yeah, especially at that age. So when your child called, did he want to be picked up? Or what was his point in calling? He wanted to be picked up. What time of the day was it?
This is after towards the end of the protest, around 2 p.m. to 2:30, around that area. And the email that they gave me is around 2:35 after the protest was finished. So, around 2 o'clock, 2:15, around that area. Time was not even a thing in my mind. Getting my child to safety. I'm thinking about the situation. I have the feeling in my chest that no parent wants to have, that they lost their child, even though I didn't lose them. I felt like I lost them because it was that scary.
Yeah. So have you had, and first of all, when you picked him up, I mean, you see in the video, he kind of gets in the car. Did the school know you were taking him home? Did you inform the school that you were taking your child?
On my way there, I got a call from somebody, didn't know who it was, didn't even answer it. Then they called back, answered it. He says, are you coming to get your son? I said, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they knew. Okay.
Yeah. And I can't believe that it's to the point where these kids are, one of my roommates, informed me that her child goes to the same school. She comes over and she says that all the kids are threatening to beat him up, to press him, to jump him when he comes back to school. So I cannot even bring him back to school. This is going to damage my work. I'm going to have to, you know, take more time with my son and be here to teach him. I got to, you know, it's crazy. I'm going to have to get a laptop. It's crazy. Everything's, I just need to get this lawyer thing figured out.
So your son is not back at school today?
No, absolutely not.
Are you going to ever send him back to that school?
Absolutely not.
I mean, but you just said, I mean, as a parent, homeschooling's hard. It takes time. It takes energy. Private school's expensive. I mean, you told me you work overnight. How are you supposed to like teach your kid during the day and work at night?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And I feel like it's my only option at this point. And I'm surprised that no other parent feels that way at the school or any other schools. I feel like, what are they going to do when there's no kids in school? You're not going to have a job.
Yeah.
We can figure this out on our own. We've done it for a millennia before there were school systems. I'm irate. I can't deal with another public school system. Let's put it that way.
I don't,
I'm done with them.
I don't blame you. And there's more and more parents making that decision. I mean, we just highlighted the other woman earlier this week. She's in kind of a, she's a single mom, like she's on disability. And she's like, what am I going to do? But she's like you. She's like, I will somehow make this happen, which I think is just another argument for school choice. You yank your child, the $20,000 they spend a year on your child that they take from taxpayers should go to you to be able to figure out what you want to do with your kid and what works. The money should go with the child. So I know that you're maybe thinking about suing the school district.
I absolutely am.
Yeah.
I absolutely am. And again, it's going to cost a lot because I'm going to lose the first until I think it's a circuit. It's gonna happen. It's inevitable. It's a school district.
Yeah.
And the state backs it. So I'm pretty much fighting against the state at this point. That's why my donation area is at a higher amount because of that. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, and you started a Give, Send, Go or a GoFundMe or which?
Yes,
which
Give, Send, Go.
Give, Send, Go. The one that they won't cancel conservatives for conservative things. So we'll share that link. And I think there's a lot of parents who are eager. I mean, it happened with this woman. I think she's raised maybe $11,000 just to try to send her child maybe to a private school of some kind. But, you know, I think that filming it matters. People are in the comments like, oh, you pulled out the camera and wanted the world to see. It's like, no, people need to see this. It's not enough, I don't think, for a parent just to be upset and have those private conversations with the school. I think we have to put them on blast. There was just, and we're going to talk about it in our show after this, a kid just got hit by a car during a protest. Who's liable for that? Is the school liable for that? There are so many issues here. So, Vance, I appreciate your social media is funny, by the way. You're a very direct individual. So now I'm going to follow you on Instagram.
Thank you.
Modern_Ragnar_1.0. And I'm going to follow you because I'm just generally entertained by you. But this situation is not entertaining. So we'll get this story out there. I think you're not alone. Hopefully it inspires more parents to speak up. I'm sorry this happened. And let us know where the lawsuit goes. And maybe there's a law firm out there that wants to take the case pro bono. There's a lot of law firms nationally that are working on parental choice issues. So we're going to stay in touch, okay?
All right. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and that sentiment that he expressed that happened with his son, where I heard this because we were down in Olympia, and a couple parents were telling me that in certain classrooms, if the teacher decides to leave in protest, then the kids are just basically made to go outside where there's someone who's out there monitoring the protest, who can watch them. That's very concerning. So it sounds like this kid, everyone else left his class, and he calls his dad to pick him up from school in the middle of the day. I hope there's a law firm who'll take that. And I understand there's 1A issues at play here, but when the kid doesn't want to participate and is put in harm's way, or the kids are out in traffic or whatever it is, I just do think that there's some room here to challenge that. So we appreciate Vance joining us, and keep this coming for parents who are plucking their kids out of school or whatever it is. The fact that that money doesn't follow you and your child when they're put in a situation like that is nuts. We'll get to our daily subscriber show poll next on this very topic of about liability and who's accountable for these kids when they leave class. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, also, can I just point out, we're having a very traumatic day behind the scenes. I hope it doesn't show on the show. We're in the middle of something earlier. My computer shuts off. I just get this little death notification saying, we've run into an issue and we need to shut down your computer. And I'm thinking, oh no. And then I'm sitting here trying to get to Vance's interview and there's a spider on the wall. And I'm looking at Nicole. I'm like,
they might not all know that is your one weakness.
Thank you. I think I have more. But that is my top weakness. And Nicole is so brave. So if I'm sounding composed, then I'm really good at my job, because it's been quite a stressful 10 minutes. Anyway, we have a lot more to get to. If you're thinking about selling your home, back into professional mode, talk to our friend at sellwithwes.com. Wes Jones and his team are exceptional. There's a reason Wes has been able to do this for such a long time in this market through all the housing ups and downs. It's because, one, people love him. He offers exceptional service, great communication, and he is really going to take as much stress out of the process as possible by taking it all on himself. So, for instance, if you've got cosmetic upgrades, he'll come in, he'll be really honest with you about what's worth it, what's not worth it, and he can help manage those projects. So you can just be like, Wes, take care of this. and he will. And he can even set it up so you don't have to pay for those upgrades until closing, so you don't have to worry about the financial stress of that. Ann says it was a 5-star experience. Wes guided me through renovations, referred great contractors, and helped me make smart choices. When it was time to sell my childhood home, they staged it beautifully, hosted open houses that felt like neighborhood events, sold for $100,000 over asking. We got 4 offers. You won't find a better team. That's Ann talking about Wes Jones and Associates at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, our daily subscriber poll question for paid subscribers only. Thank you for being paid subscribers to the show. We do appreciate it. On Patreon, Locals and X, if a child leaves school for a protest and is injured, who do you think is most responsible, most liable for that? I realize some of you might want to say a combination of all of these things, but is it the school district? Is it the individual staff and teachers who are supposed to be watching them during the day? Is it parents? Is it students? Nicole, who is most liable?
It's tough because ultimately it's not like the school can tackle you on the way out and tell you you're not leaving this property, right? So,
but I mean, if it was a kid, they would stop them, right? You wouldn't let an 8-year-old walk out of school into traffic.
In theory, yeah. But I mean, they're size-wise, they're a little easier to stop. So
yes, you just pick them up. Not today, Johnny.
Right.
Okay.
But
yes,
high schoolers, late middle schoolers, I guess. I mean, I gotta say it's probably the students, but I would also, as staff at a school, absolutely call police and have them stopped.
Yes.
So that, I think that you have to put an end to it. You can't just let it happen. There has to be some effort to stop it.
Yeah. It's a good point that if I'm going to be a person of personal responsibility, I suppose I would say the child. But when you're talking about middle schoolers, I don't really think that's fair. These kids have been indoctrinated. They've been encouraged to do this. This isn't happening naturally. So I just have to go with the school district. At some point, there has to be a foot down situation where you get parents involved and you tell parents, look, we can't have this. We cannot keep your kids safe. If they want to walk out of the lawn of the school district, that's a different thing, but we can't have them walking off. It's a liability issue for us. So, I mean, can't you block the entrances and exits to the actual school and at least keep them on school property, something like that? Well, curious what you guys have to say.
If you knew this was going to happen, they all knew the day before. All of these schools know. Do something to stop it instead of saying that you supported, I guess, because you should be saying this can be done outside of school time. This is what school is for.
Right.
We're not doing this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, cancel school if you have to.
80% of you said the school district is responsible. Bill says bad decisions make for bad consequences. And I am all in favor of the kids. And it sounds like most of these schools, there is a truancy issue here. And so you are absent. I wonder if they actually are doing that and making good on it. Big Mike, high school students are mostly who I have in mind, as it's the most common group to protest, but actions have consequences. God forbid an injury occurs, but if you make adult choices, adult consequences can follow. Additionally, elementary and middle school kids shouldn't be protesting. Go grab a juice box and touch some grass. All will be fine. You know what? I had a juice box the other day. I was at an event. It was a no alcohol event, and there was kids there, and they had all sorts of options. They had a juice box. I said to myself, I'm grabbing that juice box. Tell me something. And it was delicious. Pickle Man, the teachers or staff who have the direct involvement in allowing or encouraging a student to do a protest, especially off campus, should be held responsible. The district is not directly involved with the student's actions. They should be, however, held indirectly responsible for their policies, which resulted in the action. Let's fit in one from Locals. Todd, the school should bear significant liability if the incident happened during school hours and stemmed from negligent supervision that allowed the child to leave campus without authorization. Schools generally act in loco parentis, in place of parents, good point, during the school day, meaning they have a legal duty to reasonably supervise students and prevent foreseeable harm, including enforcing rules against unauthorized departures. But also, a great point by that dad, those kids walk down the street in White Center. And if you're not familiar, like, that's kind of the ghetto. I mean, there are worse places, but White Center is an area of high prostitution and drug trafficking activity. It's an area of high gang activity as a result of those things. So what happens if a kid gets shot with a stray bullet in a drive-by? Two kids just got murdered outside of Seattle school the other day. Crazy stuff, you guys. All right, a little bit of national news here. I love this because as hostile as things have been in Minneapolis, there are some cooler heads prevailing. So as you know, Trump said, look, let's put Tom Homan in Minneapolis. He hasn't been there. Bovino out, Tom Homan in. Tom Homan goes, acts like an adult and a professional, talks to the elected leaders, said basically, here's what we need in order to draw down the number of ICE agents that we have. Can you, Nicole, I flipped the order of these, Homan, can you do that? Okay, let's listen.
We currently have an unprecedented number of counties communicating with us now and allowing ICE to take custody of illegal aliens before they hit the streets. Unprecedented cooperation. And I'll say it again. This is efficient, requires only one or two officers to assume custody of a criminal alien target rather than 8 or 10 officers going into the community and arresting that public safety threat. This frees up more officers to arrest or remove criminal aliens. More officers taking custody of criminal aliens directly from the jails means less officers on the street doing criminal operations. This is smart law enforcement, not less law enforcement. It's safer for the community, safer for the officers, and safer for the alien. This coordination also makes it far more safe for the Twin Cities.
Exactly. And as a result, they started to play nice, handed over the people the Trump administration wanted all along, the people who have committed crimes here. Counties are cooperating. And now here is what Minnesota gets as a result.
I have announced effective immediately. We will draw down 700 people effective today. 700 law enforcement personnel. We have also fully integrated CBP personnel into the ICE ERO team structure under one unified chain of command.
And that's also something that lawmakers or Minnesota politicians wanted, because they felt like Border Patrol was sort of doing their own thing with Bovino and acting a little less professionally, maybe. And that's just sort of the allegation. So now Tom Homan's saying we're all under the same command. And so basically everyone's answering to me. And, you know, Kristi Noem or whatever it is. So is this not common sense? And had you not had sanctuary policies in the first place, we wouldn't have been in a situation where they needed 6 times the number of agents to go out and do something that would have been able to be done safely in a secured environment with assistance from a local law enforcement. But now they're out in the community. They're out in the neighborhoods. They have a whole team that they have to go out and hit a house with their, like, you know, SWAT looking people. And then on top of that, you've got people out there in the streets confronting them and tracking them and harassing them. And so everything is made more difficult by sanctuary policies. Everything is made more dangerous by sanctuary policies. I hope this is a long-term thing for Minnesota to agree to cooperate when it comes to jails and prisons. And if Minnesota does it, hell, maybe Washington State will do it. Maybe California will do it. Because if what you don't want is for them to go after, yes, illegals, but people who haven't committed any law violations and might be working or contributing to society in other ways. I mean, I still have an issue with that at this point because it's gotten out of control. Democrats used to have an issue with it as well, including Obama. But if you don't want that and you are okay with them arresting the murderers and the rapists, then you have to get rid of the sanctuary policies, because that's what's prohibiting them from doing so in an organized fashion. So that's awesome. Good. I mean, I love that. Let's just keep going from here and hope that the unhinged people will calm down a little bit. Aren't you cold in Minneapolis? Aren't you cold yet? This is not surprising. Mamdani in New York hates cops. They elected a guy who hates cops, who wanted police to be dismantled and abolished. They've got a socialist, borderline communist, and Zohran Mamdani who hates police. And he's now showing his true colors. So there was an incident in Queens. Officers responded to a report of a guy who'd kept throwing pieces of glass against a wall. Sounded like kind of like a domestic disturbance situation, which is the most dangerous type of call that police can respond to. So brave men and women of the NYPD get there. Caller said on the phone that the guy wasn't armed, that nobody had been injured yet, but the guy was throwing glass and he wasn't armed. That's what they claimed. Well, body cam video, which I'll show you in a moment, it shows the guy that the caller said wasn't armed holding a knife as a family member tries to prevent him. Does this have sound in the video, Nicole? Okay, I'll play it in a second. Tries to prevent this family member from moving toward a police officer. So police say the officer fired his weapon after giving multiple commands to drop the knife. So here is body cam, and it does stop just before the shooting. So don't worry about it.
Hey, put the knife down! Put the knife down! Put the knife down! Put the knife down!
down! Put the knife, move! Put the knife down! Put the knife down!
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, that's a justified shooting. How many times did he say, put the knife down, and he continues to advance toward him? Guess who Zohran Mamdani decided to visit in the hospital?
I spoke with the Chakraborty family, and I visited Chavez in the hospital. And there is no family should have to endure this kind of pain.
Are you kidding me? No family should have to endure the kind of pain that police officers' families endure when they're killed in the line of duty. The woman in that video shouldn't have had to endure that kind of pain. Clearly a domestic violence situation. And even the Lulu Cuckoo people have to say that that's justified. And the new mayor of New York City is visiting the guy who charged officers with a knife in the hospital. Did you go see the officers on roll call, ask, check in on them? Because firing your weapon for a police officer is a difficult, no, none of them want to do that. And shooting someone can mess you up for the rest of your life. Did you go visit them? Did you check in on them? Did you see how they're doing? Did you ask what they need and what kind of support they need? No, you're at the hospital next to the bed of someone who tried to kill a cop. Insane. Shouldn't be surprised. You get what you vote for. All right, coming up next, we'll get to comments from the live stream. And I'm sure I know a lot of you are wishing happy birthday to Miranda. We were in Olympia yesterday, which was Miranda's birthday, 39th. She's going to be 40 next year. Wow. I love being the younger sister. First, February is Valentine Roofing Month, and they have an extra special thing for you. It's all about spreading love. So if you're a Valentine customer, and if you loved your new roof or siding, now is the time to share that level of care with your friends and family, because Valentine Roofing, for the entire month of February, they're expanding their customer referral program. When you refer friends or family for a new roof or siding, you'll earn your choice of a free maintenance service, or you get a $250 gift card. And as you know, you can be confident when referring your loved ones, because every Valentine Roofing customer receives the Valentine experience: seamless communication, meticulous cleanup, and extra mile service, even in winter weather. And they have flexible financing options available with payments as low as $159 a month and zero down. So a Valentine roof is a roof that's built around your budget. So reach out to our friends at Valentine, best roofing company in the Pacific Northwest for 3 years in a row. And make sure you refer your friends and get that cash in on that free referral gift. 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. Make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. And I wish, why don't I get a referral bonus? Oh, that's right, because there are advertisers on the show. You cash
yeah,
in
I think
on
you
that
do,
referral
actually.
Bonus. All right, great. Okay. Well, you know. All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream. On the major news about plastic surgeons and the American Medical Association backing down from gender mutilation of kids, Weisscastle says the kids who want this are often very unhappy children, but that never should have resulted in this mutilation. And we had, I joked at our rally, as I've joked before, that the lesbians are going to save America. And they were saying that really these surgeries are inherently homophobic. Is you're basically taking kids who would otherwise just grow up to be gay, right, and you're mutilating them. And I thought
and you're
that was
telling
an interesting.
Them it's not okay just to be yeah. like a femboy or
right.
a masculine girl.
Chick.
Yeah.
Watermelon Shug, this whole transgender issue definitely woke me out of my liberal stupor about 10 years ago. Oh, wow. That was a long time ago. Robert, why in the world would anyone want to handcuff a child to the pharmaceutical industry for the rest of their lives? Well, I'll tell you who wants to handcuff them to the pharmaceutical industry. The pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on our exciting long day down in Olympia yesterday, Moon Goddess is so proud of these young ladies standing up for their right to not have their opportunities taken from them by boys and keeping their safe spaces open. Safe places. Big Princess, these brave young women should be applauded and celebrated. And I think it was cool for them to see just how much effort went into yesterday and making sure that they could be given a voice. Shannon, how is it legal for politicians to ignore voices? One party rule, you know, makes it legal for them to do virtually anything. Kalia says, is it Kalia? I was there with my 2-year-old daughter. Thank you for standing up for her future. Thank you for standing up for her future as well. All right, Ferguson rejecting the Democrat version of the income tax proposal. Mighty Mouse says they need psychological evaluations and DOGE investigations. Yeah.
Well, don't you
hand in hand.
Right. Don't you think it was absolutely planned? Like this was a planned
yes.
display,
right.
acting and at their best, I
because
guess.
Because Bob did it last year.
Yeah.
when he said, oh, they brought him like a 20 billion or something in new taxes. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to do that. That's too much. And then they're like, okay, well, how about 14? He's like, okay, we worked really hard.
Well, this
so
was,
like meet in the mm-hmm. middle.
Yeah. And this was his opportunity to say, no, look, I'm for the poor people.
Yeah.
I am all about, like, I'm not going to let them do anything unless it's helping you. Like, this was their extended opportunity to say that it's all about the poor people. And that's who he's in it for.
Just crazy.
It's so... so see-through.
I know. Rick Eckert said, how about stop running beta versions of bills, right? The fully realized bill before first filing instead of going for quantity over quality.
But see, then they don't have these opportunities to talk about it.
Look, and bills get hashed out in debate and stuff. And but that's a thing. Them, they debate it and they just make it worse. On a local teacher offering up special ed kids to fight ICE, Lil Miss J with a super chat. We have evidence of Marxist and communist groups targeting children with disabilities to recruit. This was years back, too. This isn't new. Lynn Blevin says, how do we unradicalize our schools? It's disgusting. I think it's happening. Mm-hmm. I think exposing it is the first step to de-radicalizing schools. And we just have to keep pounding the pavement and sharing the stories. I mean, we have a story coming up later this week or next week that's pretty wild. And I think there's going to be some big problems with it.
You just really got to get to know your kids as teachers because they're sneaking it in.
Yeah.
As long as the school or as long as the state is as blue as it is, the teachers are going to be too.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Let's see here. On the student walkouts, Toronto Thrash, no child or teen fears ICE or Trump unless their demented parents or teachers put that fear in them. But everyone in this chat already knows that 100%. Yeah. American Bold Guy. Adopting ideologies is the latest thing. Oh, always on to something. And in 6 months, it'll be something else.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Dow, that's exactly what I said the kid's reasoning would be. What kid wouldn't walk out for whatever reason? I love that that student stopped me and said, I'm here to get out of class. And so are all of them. I was like, that guy's a legend.
Absolutely.
Matthew Cook, these protests also lead to kids being ostracized that don't want to participate. I agree. It's peer pressure. Peer pressure. Of course it is.
Of course.
There's a couple super again, chats there I'm going to leave to the end of the show because they require me to use my beautiful singing voice. And so I shall leave those to the end. Nicole, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll get to our closing sanity check and me singing. Coming up next, first, I have told you guys, if you want to save some money in your family's budget, look at your insurance. Too many of us set it, forget it, use these weird tools online that's supposed to get us the best deal, but you might not have the best deal. Or even worse, you might have crap insurance that'll never cover you in the event that something bad happens. So I highly recommend taking the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Ronell says, I heard about First Mark on the Undivided podcast. That's this one. Rate as our rental properties insurance was being non-renewed. They were able to get us better coverage at a less premium. We were so impressed. We now have had them find us insurance on all three rental properties, our personal property, and our auto, all for less. That's what happened with me. I started with my home, and then I was like, that was a pleasant experience. And then we expanded to the business as well. Ronell says, every single person we have dealt with has been absolutely amazing. We get check-ins every 6 months to make sure all is well. I cannot recommend First Mark enough. See, it's not just me that loves First Mark. Undivided viewers and listeners love it too. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right. I think it should be called the First Mark / Undivided Family because I feel like there's so many undivided people who are now members of the First Mark family. It's
seems
really
fair.
Like a hyphenated last name, if you will. All right, with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Gotta love Nicki Minaj. I was just listening to some of her collabs with Kanye West the other day in the car, and I used to love like Kanye and Nicki, and I was like, wow, that's quite the collab because those two really went on a trajectory nobody saw them going on.
They used to love her, and now she gets booed at the Grammys.
Insane. And so she was talking on Katie Miller's podcast, which is Stephen Miller's wife, about Gavin Newsom and policies, because he's going to run for president, right? Policies that he has that she likes or doesn't like, and she's, been red-pilled. And she said that one of the worst things in her eyes, going back to how we started the show, is supporting child mutilation.
What is some of the policies in California, given you've spent a lot of time there, that makes you think Gavin Newsom is Gavin Newsom? What stands out the most to you?
And I'm glad you asked that, because I want to make it clear. I personally don't have an issue with the trans part of the LGBT at all. I am the biggest advocate for adults being able to do whatever the heck they want to do. They're adults. I don't care. I only mentioned something because when it comes to children, I wouldn't even allow my 17-year-old daughter to get breast implants. Neither, like, and most, 99% of the parents would not let their 17-year-old child get breast implants. So if you wouldn't get, let a child get breast implants, you're not going to want them to have any kind of surgery, because we all know the brain is not developed. And we've heard about 19 times more likely to commit suicide. What more do you need to know? That a child is 19 times more likely to commit suicide if they have a surgery before they're an adult?
Yeah, and I don't know that statistic, but still, I mean, she makes a good point. And this is actually a retort people use when I say I'm not in favor of child mutilation. They're like, oh, but I bet you're in favor of plastic surgery. Not for kids. Yeah, not for kids. So same thing. Like, let's not ruin children's bodies or do surgery on children's bodies unless it's literally a medical emergency. Wild. All right. Really quickly, before you play me out, I've got two quick super chats. Moon Goddess says, it's my birthday on Super Bowl Sunday. Go Seahawks. And Little Miss J says, it was my daughter Jenny's birthday yesterday. Can you sing? I'm going to sing one happy birthday that goes for Moon Goddess and Jenny. So I'm going to try this really hard. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jenny and Moon Goddess. Happy birthday to you both. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We appreciate you so very much. We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon. Remember, the best way to support the growth of our show is by becoming a paid subscriber. Go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. While you're there, you can shop our merch store. We got totes, we got bumper stickers, we got hats. So check it out, all of that, undividedpod.com. See you tomorrow.